Anatomy and Physiology, Gulf Coast State College. We continue our discussion of the muscular system by looking at some of the muscles that are in general in the region of the thorax and abdomen today. Starting here, I love the name. It helps you right off the bat. It pretty much tells you everything. Look at your root words. Inter means in between. Costals, you learned in the bone section, means rib. So intercostals are the in between the rib muscles. And here they are, showing some arrows. Here's the, of course, the ribs. And then we have the arrows pointing to the red beef in between the ribs. Those are the muscles called the intercostals. If you go into more detail in healthcare, you'll learn that there's external intercostals here on the outside, and then a little deeper with the muscle fibers going the opposite direction, really, we have the internal intercostals. But don't worry about that for my course. Just know that in between the rib muscles are intercostals, and look how easy this is. Origin and insertion between the ribs, because they're the in-between the rib muscles, and that's where they originate, and that's where they insert. Action, they raise and lower the rib cage. Just picture those muscles that I have my arrows on contracting and relaxing, and you can certainly imagine that rib cage raising and lowering and helping us in part to breathe. But this is, of course, the Mac Daddy breathing muscle that most of you have heard of before you ever took this course, called the diaphragm. The arrows are pointing to it. I'll use my white arrow now. It's a big, flat, dome-shaped muscle that you can see partially on the cutaway on the right side of this figure from your book. It's a very important landmark, as you see when we study organs later on down the road, when we study vasculature later on down the road. This is a big dividing line because the diaphragm separates the thoracic cavity above from the abdominal cavity below. We have to run through, of course, our OIAs, our origin, insertions, and actions. Remember, the big picture is the origins are usually the points that are sort of more fixed. The insertion is usually the region where we're going to get the movement or the action. So what's the origin of the diaphragm? Kind of complex, and there's multiple points. Let's talk about them, and I'll try to trace them. You should know the origins include the xiphoid process, that bottom pointy part of the sternum. Also, the lower six ribs, and then finally around the back as the diaphragm kind of winds around in its big dome shape, also originates from the lumbar vertebrae. So just picture that winding around from the xiphoid, then going around the sides along the inferior six ribs, and then finally back to the lumbar vertebrae, and those are your origins. What about the insertion? This is kind of strange, isn't it? It inserts in something called the central tendon. Yeah, tendon in the middle. I guess that's the second place we saw a tendon in the middle. Very bizarre for the human body, but there's our second example. Some better pictures coming up that show this really nicely. You know what this is for. This is the most important breathing muscle for inhalation and exhalation. We'll get into this in more detail when we do the respiratory system, but believe it or not, when we inhale, this big dome-shaped diaphragm muscle goes down. That's right. When we take a breath in, the diaphragm goes down. And then when we exhale, the diaphragm actually raises back up. This is a beautiful picture. I love it. From your text, it will help you not only here in the muscle section, but helping the vascular section, the digestive section as well. So I really, really like this. Here's what we have labeled below, the inferior view of the diaphragm. In other words, we're looking at this big dome-shaped muscle from below. As if in this example, I guess you could picture maybe a patient laying on the table with their feet towards you, and you're looking up into their body, because this would be anterior, this would be posterior, and then you're looking right up into the dome. Yeah, there's a TV show out now called The Dome. I haven't seen it, but in any case, you're looking up into the dome. And let's break down the parts. First of all, the red beef, those fibers are the muscle fibers. The origins, I think you can picture better now, include the xiphoid process of the sternum, the lower about six ribs, and then finally another origin from the lumbar vertebrae. Insertion, right here, central tendon. So that's really cool. Also, some extra stuff here, but it'll come into play and help us later on. There are some perforations, if you will, or openings or holes in the diaphragm. Here's one that'll let through the inferior vena cava. Here's one that lets the aorta pass through. And in green, some lymphatic vessels that you'll study later on. Kind of also fits with a memorization technique I gave you called Van L. Remember, vein, artery, nerve, lymph all run together. And if you look at this picture, there are veins, arteries, nerves, and lymphatics running through here. And one more thing I forgot to mention, here's the esophagus we'll study in the digestive system that passes through a hole. We'll learn the name of that hole later on. It's called the esophageal hiatus. A hiatus just means an opening. This next bit of information is just for you. It won't be on this test, but that's really the source of the disorder you heard of called a hiatal hernia, because this opening is a weak spot, and some people will have their stomach actually will push up from the abdominal cavity up into the thoracic cavity, and they have a piece of their stomach up in their chest. That's called a hiatal hernia. But in any case, this is an absolutely beautiful picture to study, learn, and understand the diaphragm and its relations to many other structures in the human body. We'll move on now and take a look at the rectus abdominis. Always start with the name. The root word rectus, you should know, it will help you over and over again, means straight. Abdominis, you guessed it, refers to the abdomen. So the rectus abdominis, shown here to the right, are these muscle fibers running straight up and down over the abdomen. So the grain of the meat, the grain of the beef, is running straight over the abdomen. That's how it got its name. Now, both here and in lab, you'll see that there's a lot of connective tissue, a lot of this white, what we call fascia, that obscures the rectus abdominis. But with it peeled away, that's what it looks like very, very beautifully. Okay, let's take a look first at our origins. If you're asked, you will tell me the origin is from the pubis. The pubis is also called the pubic bone. Here it is down here. The insertions include the xiphoid process, which is approximately here, and also ribs 5 through 7. Yes, ribs 5 through 7. Don't worry, I have a memorization technique that will help you remember the origin and insertion. Part of that relies on understanding the actions, which I bet most of you know before you got here. What's the action of the rectus abdominis? Well, it flexes the vertebral column. If you flex your vertebral column, that's like doing a sit-up. So this is the sit-up muscle. And this is the muscle, if you do lots of sit-ups, what happens? Well, you develop those six-pack abs, right? So I threw in a six-pack for you. There's a six-pack of Pepsi. Maybe this will remind you. It's a six, you know, this is the six-pack muscle. But I have a way to tie this in to help you memorize the origin and insertion. Two ways to remember it. If you remember that we're doing sit-ups, the origin to insertion goes up from the pubic bone to the xiphoid process and ribs 5 through 7. So that's origin to insertion. That's going up like a sit-up. You get it? Okay, I got a different one. How about we go back to our six-pack down here, and if you drink a six-pack of Pepsi, well, it's bottoms up, right? So we go again from origin into insertion, from bottom up, from pubic bone to xiphoid process and ribs 5-7. Ooh, but how do you remember ribs 5-7? Don't worry, got another mnemonic, little clip art again coming at you. There's some Heinz 57 steak sauce. So I just picture dumping a little Heinz 57 steak sauce right on the rectus abdominis, right on the six-pack. Again, I know that sounds corny, but you know what? You'll never forget it now. So I hope I didn't stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning thinking of those mnemonics just for nothing. But you know you need them. Anatomy and physiology has tons of information coming at you. You've got to learn the basics. Everything relies on your understanding of the building blocks. So you have to have things to make things stick in your brains, and so you can retain and understand them, not just for this course, but when you proceed into the healthcare field, which I know many of you wish to go into. So there you go. There's my fancy memorization techniques. All those years of schooling, right, finally paid off. Our next abdominal muscle is going to be the external oblique. Let's start with the name. What does external mean? External means on the outside. What about oblique? Oblique means diagonal, doesn't it? And the person who found this muscle, whatever, hundreds of years ago, said, hey, look at the direction of the grain of the meat, just like you could see in beef and chicken, right? The grain of the meat is going diagonal. And also, this muscle is on the outside. So I'll call it the outside diagonal muscle. And that's exactly how it got its name. Origin. It originates from the lower eight ribs. How do I remember that? Well, I got a funny way of doing it. I kind of play a game with letters. I look at this O and in oblique, and I put the O together with the O from origin, and put them on top of each other, and I make the letter, or excuse me, I make the number 8. Yeah, make the number 8. So that's how I remember. I know that's a little bit off, but that's why I do it. I put two O's together for origin oblique, and I make the number 8. What about insertion? Very important. These fibers, look at them going diagonally downwards and across the abdomen, and they insert number 1 on the iliac crest and also in this connective tissue white line that goes down the middle of the abdomen called the linea alba. Linea, root word, means line. Alba means white. So it looks like a white line going down the middle of the abdomen. So those are the two insertions of this muscle. Another way that people sometimes remember this, if you put your hands in your pockets, or at least aim them that way, your fingers will represent the grain of the meat. If you put them against your sort of rib cage, those would be your lower eight ribs, and then extend your fingers diagonally downwards, again, that's hands in the pockets, and you aim them down towards the ilium, the iliac crest specifically, and also in the middle of the abdomen called the linea alba. So that's how some people remember external oblique, hands in the pockets. But in any case, let me give you a little bit more information about the linea alba since I mentioned it. And this is just for you, but you might see it in real life. You know, when women get pregnant, this white line down the middle often turns sort of a brownish color. And you can see that pigmented brown line that runs down the middle of their pregnant belly, which I guess everyone now calls the baby bump. But in any case, they rename it and they call it the linea nigra, which just means dark line. And those occur due to hormonal changes during pregnancy. Okay, let's finish off this thing here. We got to talk about the action. Check it out. As we've done before, we have to look at this thing because there's one on the right and one on the left. We have to look what happens if they act or contract together or if they act or contract separately. acting separately, as you might imagine. Just picture this muscle, these fibers going from the origin to the insertion points. If you contract them separately, you will twist the trunk, right? You know, ever notice some people do sit-ups and they twist to one side or the other? Well, that's your external oblique in part helping with that. What about if you contract the right and left external obliques at the same time? Well, acting bilaterally, that means both sides same time, then it will press on the belly or compress the abdomen, like straining at a bowel movement, which of course we shouldn't do, or coughing. But also this will help you flex the vertebral column, again, as in doing sit-ups. So working together, this also helps you do sit-ups. Now we have beautiful gross anatomy. I love looking at these slides. It's the real deal. I think they're great to learn off of. So let's go ahead and quiz ourselves. How about that on this slide? So let me pop up an arrow. If I say name that muscle, I hope you all would guess rectus abdominis. Again, with the fascia removed, we can see very nicely the grain of the meat, of the beef, is straight up and down over the abdomen. Picture your origin on the pubic bone, your insertion on the xiphoid process, and also, of course, ribs 5 through 7. Remember Heinz 57 sauce. And then another test question. There it is. Name that muscle. Hopefully you're noticing in the lateral view, we got the grain of the beef going diagonally downwards and across the abdomen. That's your hands in the pocket sort of an analogy. This muscle, of course, is the external oblique because it's going oblique or diagonal and it's on the outside surface. Remember origins from lower eight ribs, insertion, iliac crest, and linea alba. Beautiful pictures. Love gross anatomy. Also, another arrow just popped up showing you on the frontal view the external oblique as well. Oh, almost forgot this. One of my favorite things. Name that structure, and you all say linea alba, running right down the middle there. Now comes the internal oblique. I think with all this knowledge you have, you can figure this out without me even talking. Internal means on the inside, so you guess maybe it's a little bit deeper than the other muscle, and it is. Oblique means diagonal. So this is a deeper abdominal muscle where the fibers run diagonal. Look at the fibers, however. They're running diagonally the other way. So this is sort of like hands towards the sky. You're pointing your fingers up now. So here is the grain of the beef. That is the internal oblique with the overlying external oblique removed. So this is a next deeper muscle. Origin, it originates from the iliac crest. You remember that part of the ilium. And then those muscle fibers sort of head upwards now and towards the middle of the abdomen where they have insertions on the lower ribs and also, once again, one of my favorite things, the linea alba, so that they can do what action there? Well, same basic story as the other slide. So you really don't have to memorize anything new, do you? Acting separately, we could rotate our trunk, do that twisting kind of a sit-up deal. Acting bilaterally at the same time can compress the abdomen and flex the vertebral column, which you know just means can help us if we do sit-ups again. Beautiful pictures. Let's check this out. Some of the muscles, specifically the external oblique, has been ripped away. Let's look first at our lateral view. There it is. Name that muscle. Check it out. Don't be fooled. Look at the grain of the beef running diagonally upwards from the ilium all the way up towards the lower ribs and the linea alba. Here it is on sort of a frontal view. Again, this is our hands to the sky, if you will. Please call this the internal oblique if you see it in a testing situation in the lab or in the lecture. Our last of the abdominal muscles that we'll look at is called the transversus abdominis. The name helps you once again. Transverse means across. If you transverse something or traverse something, you go across something. So this means going crossways, and abdominis, of course, means abdomen. So we're going across the abdomen. It is the deepest of the three abdominal wall muscles. That is one of the major test questions that tends to occur. Even if it doesn't, you should know it anyway. So here it is, showing you the fibers going diagonally. Well, check out our last muscle in the abdomen. It's called the transversus abdominis. Once again, the name helps you tremendously. Transverse, or to traverse something, means to go across. Abdominis, you know, means abdomen. So these muscle fibers go across the abdomen horizontally. And here's the arrow showing you pretty much a horizontal orientation of the grain of the meat. This is the deepest of the last three abdominal wall muscles we just talked about. That sounds like a test question, and it might be, but even if it isn't, you should just know it's the deepest. Some people also, by the way, just simply call this the transverse abdominis, but I'll use your book's terminology here. Origin and insertion and action. Here we go. Origin, it originates from the ilium and also from the lower ribs. Again, hard to see here because the muscle's buried so deep. Where does it insert? Well, it goes across the abdomen, just like the name says, horizontally across the abdomen, and then it inserts in the linea alba as well as the xiphoid process superiorly and the pubis inferiorly. So I think the name really helps you here. It starts at the ilium and lower ribs and then goes clear across the abdomen from the xiphoid process to linea alba to the pubis. What does this muscle help us do? Well, when it contracts, it just compresses the abdominal wall, as in coughing, as in straining, and so forth. And now one of my favorite things, more gross anatomy. Here's our cadaver, but with the external oblique peeled away, the internal oblique dissected away, just like some of you may do in the laboratory. And finally, we see the grain of the meat of this muscle pretty much going horizontal, originating from lower ribs and ilium, extending horizontally across the abdomen from xiphoid process, linea alba to pubis. This is our transverse abdominis. Put an arrow on it in the lateral view for you to take a good look at, and then from the front, another view of the transversus abdominis. Next on our plate for today is the serratus anterior. Let the name help you, because it sure will. Serratus, as in like a serrated knife, means jagged. And if you look over here to your right in the diagram or drawing from your book, my black and white arrows are now pointing to it, and it does have a jagged appearance, like a jagged or serrated knife. Anterior refers to the fact that here it is on the anterior surface of our rib cage. So the name helps us tremendously once again. What's the origin? This muscle, as shown here, originates from ribs 1 through 8. How do I remember that? Well, I play games with the word serratus, like serrate, as in the number 8, serratus. And when I put that number 8 in the word, I never forget. Serratus anterior originates anteriorly here from the first 8 ribs. Insertion, well, those muscle fibers, that grain of the meat goes posteriorly and anchors or inserts on the medial border of the scapula. A little bit hard to see here, but that is the insertion. Remember, that's the part where we get the movement, and if we contract those muscle fibers, think what will happen. It'll pull on that scapula and it will move it away from the midline. It'll kind of rotate it. Watch my white arrow. It'll rotate the scapula this way, won't it? That action is called to abduct the scapula, abduct the scapula. How do I remember what abduct with a B means? Because you don't want to confuse it with another word later on that sounds very similar. I remember the B as in blown away. So abduct means to take away or move away from the midline of the body. Another way to remember it, I kind of hate to use, but you'll never forget it. If somebody is abducted, they're taken away. So abduct in anatomy means to take away or move away from the midline. This is therefore also known as the boxer's muscle. And I'll put a little clip art for fun here. There's a picture of a boxer. Look at him throwing that punch with the right arm. When he throws that right arm out like that, imagine the serratus anterior contracting and that shoulder blade, or let's call it a scapula because we're A&P, is going to be abducted away from the midline. Also put in an eight ball here, so there's an eight ball, to help you remember that the serratus anterior originates from the first eight ribs. So maybe the picture you have in your brain for this one is a boxer punching an eight ball, and that's the kind of thing that works. I didn't invent those memorization techniques. Well, maybe this one here I did on the bottom of the page, but if you ever seen those talk shows where they bring on some memorization specialists and they say, hey, memorize these 100 things in order in 2 minutes, and they do it, they're just using techniques like this. It's not magic. Another wonderful gross anatomy picture, and the red arrow is right on that gorgeous serrated looking muscle. That's our serratus anterior, because it's serrated, it's jagged, it's anterior, goes from these first eight ribs and anchors back on that scapula, where if you throw a punch with this arm, that scapula is going to be abducted and rotate away from the midline. Most everyone's heard of this before they ever took the course. It's the pectoralis major muscle. It is the major muscle, I guess, in the chest region. It's the one that bodybuilders love to flex. Let's do the root words. Pec does refer to the chest region. Like when someone says the pecs, that's their chest muscles. Major, what does major mean? In anatomy, major usually means it's bigger and or above or superior to something, and or in front of or anterior to something. So here is, I'll outline it, our big pectoralis major muscle, which is much bigger than the pectoralis minor and is also anterior or in front of the pec minor as well. Let's check out our origins. We need to know it's so big. Look at the multiple places of origin from the clavicle and the sternum and the first six ribs. How do I remember that is the first six ribs? Well, I just remember that when I was 16 years old, I was a bodybuilder. Well, maybe that one doesn't work. Anyway, that's how I remember. I remember when I was 16 years old, I was a bodybuilder and I flexed my pecs. So that one works for me, but you could come up with your own. But you've got to have something. Insertion. Look, the grain of the beef goes over here to the arm, and it goes over to a attachment point on the arm that you study in the bone section called the greater tubercle of the humerus, which you know is the only bone in the arm. So that what happens there? Remember, we're getting the movement generally at that insertion point. And if we flex the pec, what happens is, or the pec major, we adduct and medially rotate the humerus. What does that mean? Adduct, A-D-D-duct. I remember means to draw towards the midline, so I let the D help me. And when we adduct something, we move it towards the midline. So in this case, we're going to move the humerus or the arm bone towards the midline, and also we're going to rotate it medially as well. I think I got some clip art here to try to help us see what's happening, but this is the pose that the bodybuilders often take. I couldn't find a good one on clip art or otherwise that really fit, but you know how they take their arms, they move both, they kind of hunch over, right, and they move both arms in towards the midline, and they also rotate their arms medially at the ball and socket joint where the humerus meets the scapula, and they rotate that inwards like that, and they puff up all their chest muscles. So you've seen the bodybuilders flex their pecs by doing this maneuver of adducting and medially rotating the humerus. I tried my hardest to find some clip art to help us remember this, and I really couldn't do it, so I just found a picture of myself. Those of you who don't know me, get ready for this. There I am. Yep, there's a picture of the professor, and I am medially rotating my humerus and also adducting them or drawing them towards the midline. So that's the best pose I could come up with. Let's talk about something else, though, because I know that picture is going to be hard to get out of your mind. Sorry about that one. You might not be able to sleep at night. Something useful with respect to the pectoralis major muscle are implants, like breast implants. And this muscle is, of course, a muscle the surgeons have to know well. Breast implants are sometimes inserted posterior or behind the pectoralis major muscle, or sometimes they're inserted anterior to the pectoralis major muscle. So you must know this anatomy very well. We'll move on to the pectoralis minor muscle. You know this is a chest muscle. You know minor means smaller and or below and or behind. And sure enough, the pec minor muscle is smaller than and behind the pec major muscle. Got an arrow on it showing the grain of the meat. Let's do origins and insertions. The origins are from ribs 2 through 5. I have a memorization technique coming up on that shortly. And then the grain of the meat goes up where it goes upwards, excuse me, to insert on an old friend of ours called the coracoid process of the scapula. We're now ready to think about what's going to happen as far as the action of this muscle. Never forget the general principle, the origin, generally the fixed point, the insertion, generally where we're having the movement. So just picture that muscle contracting. What's going to happen? Well, it's going to abduct the scapula. In other words, it's going to pull it away from the midline. And also, I think you would guess it's going to clearly rotate the scapula down as well. Now, how do I remember this? I have a little clip art again to keep it interesting and maybe remind us what this muscle does. I threw in a picture of a minor. And so for this slide, I just remember that when I was 25 years old, I was a miner. And here I am mining some coal or something, and look at me with that shovel. What am I doing as pushing that shovel into the coal or the soil or whatever? That pectoralis minor muscle is pulling the scapula away from the midline, and also it's rotating that scapula down. So just remember, when you were 25 years old, you were a minor, and hopefully that'll help you remember many of the things on this slide, including the origin of the pec minor and the actions of the pec minor. I believe it's shown nicely by the guy doing the shovel action down there. Now that we know all that stuff, let's apply to the real deal. So here's Muscle Man. Here comes a quiz. Boom, Red Arrow comes up pointing to that big hunk of beef. You must know that's the pectoralis major muscle. Remember, origins include clavicle, sternum, and first six ribs. Remember, 1 through 6, because when you were 16 years old, you were a bodybuilder. Insertion going over there towards the greater tubercle of the humerus so that we can do that bodybuilding pose and flex our pecs by adducting our humerus and medially rotating it as well. A reminder here of a muscle we studied earlier. Who remembers that one? Yep, that's the serratus anterior. A deeper view now coming up on the cadaver where the pec major clearly has been stripped away. Let's quiz ourselves again. Arrow comes up on that muscle there. That is the pectoralis minor. Remember, when you were 25 years old, you were a minor. So origin from ribs 2 through 5. It goes to the insertion on the coracoid process of the scapula. And of course, if you contract it, it's going to abduct and rotate that scapula downwards, as in my picture of my minor shoving the shovel into the ground. Also on the slide, another review to remind you about the serratus anterior. Gorgeous picture. Hope it helps things sink in for you. Here comes a big muscle on the back called the trapezius. I think the trapezius got its name from the root word trapezoid. But who remembers geometry? I mean, what's a trapezoid like? Let me just do it like I like to remember it. I just picture the trapezius muscle like a big diamond on the back. So I'll outline the trapezius muscle. And again, for me, the traps, which is the slang often used in the gym, the traps or the trapezius muscle is just a big diamond on the back. Let's look at the players we need to know. First of all, insertion. Just draw a big line down the middle of the back, down the middle of that diamond, and you'll remember, I hope, the origins, because they include from the occipital bone and my old friend the ligament over the neck called the ligamentum nuchae, and also the cervical and thoracic vertebrae. So you just draw a line down the middle of the diamond from the back of your head to the middle of your back. So there's the origin of the trapezius. Insertions are multiple, but don't worry, got a mnemonic coming up to help you. 3 insertions. First of all, some muscle fibers insert on the spine of the scapula. Some muscle fibers insert on the acromion process of the scapula, and then some muscle fibers will go to insert on the clavicle, which is your fill on the blank on this slide. And you're thinking again, man, this is a lot of stuff to remember. How am I going to do it? Well, I have a mnemonic for you I came up with, because I put my first letter of each of these insertions in italics, and it spells S-A-C, or sac. So I just remember I got a sac on my back, like a backpack or a sac. You got a sac on your back. So remember where the diamond inserts: on the sac, on the spine, the acromion, and the clavicle. And that's how the mnemonic sac helps me remember. You got a sac on your back. Don't forget it. What's the action? What happens if we contract the muscle called the trapezius? Well, one thing that's going to happen, picture it up here, it's going to pull that head back towards your vertebral column, which you know means to extend the head. Also, if we flex some of these muscles, we're going to either be able to raise or lower our scapula. So when you shrug your shoulders up and down, that's the trapezius muscle. We'll finish up today by talking about a muscle called the latissimus dorsi. But when I'm out on the weekends with my friends, working out in the gym, we all call these the lats. So if you want to be my group in the gym, we'll call them the lats. What's the name really mean, though? Latissimus means broad and flat. Dorsi means on the back. So here we have the big, broad, flat muscle on the back. It is exactly where and what it says it is. Let's do our origins. Origins include from the spinous processes of T7 through L5, as well as the iliac crests, shown here very nicely in this figure from your book. Don't worry, have some memorization techniques to help you with those origins. Insertions, check out the grain of the meat, right? The beef is heading towards the arm bone between the tubercles of the humerus. And therefore, actions we can perform. Just picture this humongous muscle contracting, pulling between the tubercles of the humerus. It's going to pull the arm inferiorly as well as posteriorly. That's why this is often called the swimmer's muscle. Picture the swimmer doing that stroke and pulling that arm inferiorly and posteriorly, and you have the action of this muscle nailed. If you've ever seen the Olympic swimmer standing upright on those platforms getting ready to dive in, you notice they have those big, huge, triangular shaped muscles on the sides of their body. Those are the lats. One of the ways I remember the origins of the lats is I just say to myself, I didn't learn to swim until I was 75 years old. So that's right, at 75 years old, I finally learned to swim. And that reminds me of the origins being of T7 through L5. I also threw in a little clip art here to help us remember this. So here's our visual. There's somebody swimming, and look at that arm there, you know, pulling inferiorly and posteriorly, and you could see how the lats got the name swimmer's muscle. Finally today, gotta end up with some gross anatomy, a little bit of review. Love this picture. So here we have the posterior view of Cadaver Man, Muscle Man. How about this one? Name that muscle. Did you remember that? That's the big diamond on the back. That's the trapezius muscle, which you know originates all the way from the head, goes down the ligamentum nuchae, and then down the cervical and thoracic vertebrae. Where does it insert? Don't forget the sac you have on your back, because it inserts on the spine of the scapula, that's your S, the acromion process of the scapula, that's your A, and also on the clavicle, that's your C. I put a nice cool arrow, check this out, playing with PowerPoints again because it's fun. Had to put an arrow separately on my friend the ligamentum nuchae. It's fun to say, and plus you should know what and where it is. Another quiz question to end the day. Name that muscle. You're all going to say latissimus dorsi or latissimus dorsi. Origins, of course, we learned to swim not until 75 years old, so from T7 through L5, also from the iliac crest, and inserts into the tubercles between the humerus so we can pull that arm inferiorly and posteriorly. That's all I had in this section. We'll pick up next time with some more muscles.